Track 9, Chris Skinner. This month we have a special contribution to mark the start of 2026. A New Year's Walk with Chris Skinner.
Chatterbox friends, a warm welcome to High Ash Farm. I'm farmer and nature lover Chris Skinner, and I love doing these little broadcasts for you. And this morning we've got a theme here at the farm, and it's called renewal, also hope, I suppose. And I've come into one of the large areas of woodland, and we're in January, so it's still very much winter, and the sun has just come up above the horizon, shining through the trees. And at this time of the year, the woodland floor looks decidedly brown, uninviting, as though everything is deceased. But if you know what to kind of experience out in the countryside, there's always lots of things to entertain and to kind of raise the spirits. And I'm just going to go down on my hands and knees, because already there's some flowers out, and I don't mean just a few, I mean thousands of them. We're going to be visiting two areas of woodland in the next few minutes. This one is 30 acres, called Fox's Grove at Caister St Edmund. And coming up through all the leaves are clumps and clumps. I'm just going to move some of the leaves of snowdrops. And already the first ones are in flower. One of the miracles of nature. How do they do that? How do they manage to come into flower at this time of the year? And the answer is because the bulbs, they're way down in the peaty soil. It's quite moist, quite fertile soil. Down there about 3 inches, 75 mil, some of them even 100 mil deep. And they have stored the energy from last spring and summer's sunshine. So they stored it into the bulbs, and so they've already got their energy supply. And the low light that's coming through the woodland this morning, they're actually starting to store the energy for next year's flowers. So they're really sort of positive. In Norfolk, we call them snow piercers, because often, like a couple of weeks ago, we had quite a fall of snow here, 3 inches, 4 inches on the ground. And these flowers were poking through the snow. That's how they got their kind of nickname as snow piercers. I love it. And if I just move some of the leaves out of the way in between the clumps of snowdrops, there we are, a nice bright green clump of bluebells, already up about 2 inches. Now, if I just carefully look down onto the woodland floor, I've seen lots of little plants growing that look something like grass, just a single green spike. We're not alone here this morning. I've brought my, apart from you being with me, I've brought my slightly delinquent terrier, and he's wandered off up the slope, which is quite sandy higher up, and I think there's a fox gone down an old rabbit burrow. And foxes at this time of the year are what we call rank. They smell rather, and he's kind of addicted to that, and he's sort of looking down the hole with his head on one side and then the other and barking. So I'm just keeping my fingers crossed he doesn't go down there after it. He's got a history of doing odd and strange things. It's a wonder I brought him with me. Anyway, I'm going to go right down close to the ground and just examine these little strands of what looks like grass. If I just pull the soil away just slightly, at the bottom there's the tiniest little bulb on this, and that's a seed from 2 years ago, and it's just beginning to form the bulb. Then next to it is another one, just green, slightly green, and a black seed still on the bottom of it, and that would have been in flower in sort of May 2025. Now, the bluebell bulbs are much deeper in the ground than those snowdrop bulbs we looked at a moment ago. They're down 6, 8, 9, 12 inches, as much as 30 centimetres down in the soil. And because the seed from last year's flowers drops on top of the woodland floor, then covered up with all this lovely leaf litter, almost like a duvet for them, they then germinate under there. But how on earth do the bulbs get down that deep? It isn't because the soil's building up. It's because more or less when they're finished flowering, about early to mid-May, that's just about the end of the flowering period, the bulbs have already put out the roots, because we're looking at a mature plant in front of me, and those roots start to dry, and in so doing, they perform a magic trick. They're called contractile roots, and they start to pull the little bulb to start with, only the size of a match head, just pull it down very gently into the soil. And that happens year after year after year. And some of the bulbs are 20, 30, 40 years old. And so each year, these contractile roots work like magic and bury those bulbs into the soil. And they're the same. They're going to gather energy from the sun, photosynthesis. As the sun gets taller in the sky each year, each week, I should say, at this time of the year, we're gaining about 10 minutes a week at the moment. Towards the end of January, it's about 14 minutes a week. And once you get to February, my mother used to say, Valentine's Day, we can have tea by daylight in the farmhouse. And tea was always at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So a lot will happen in the next few weeks about the length of daylight, and that's what stimulates these plants. And of course, they've all got to get a move on, because I'm underneath a whole canopy of trees and they all come into leaf, stealing the daylight that these plants and bulbs all want to harvest in front of me. Right, that's enough in this section of wood. I can see Rat, my terrible terrier, and he's got his head on one side and then the other, and he's eyeing up this potential hole for him to go down. So I'm going to have to stop anyway and call him in. Rat, would you come here? Good boy, come on. Good boy, here. Here he comes. And I'll see you in a moment or two when I rejoin you, and we'll be looking at a smaller area of woodland, about 4 acres, called Barnwood. Be there shortly. My 3-minute trip from Fox's Grove to Barnwood, where I am now, took over half an hour, because my terrible terrier decided that sniffing on the outside of a foxhole was not sufficient. The best thing to do, if you're a Rat, my dog, is to go down the hole. And that's exactly what he did. So for 25 minutes, I've been on my hands and knees with my head down a foxhole, plaintively whistling and calling for him to come back. And eventually, this sort of dog covered in sand came up looking extremely pleased with himself, only to greet his master, who'd petrified that the earth or the set, whichever it is down there, would collapse in on him. It's all loose sand deep down in the soil. Anyway, we're now on top of the hill. The wind is coming through the woodland, the sun's up a little bit more, and all around me, the woodland floor, which should really be bare and brown, is covered, absolutely plastered, with quite large plants, sort of between green and blue, the leaves. They're almost turquoisey in places, but very large leaves and thousands of plants. So what on earth are they doing here? Well, we have sort of basically three sorts of growing plants which come on the woodland floor each year. Some are annuals, which complete their whole life cycle in one year. They grow from seed in the spring, flower, if that's what they're going to do, and then drop the seed in the autumn, and then their life cycle's complete. The next stage would be the perennials, which we just looked at, which are the snowdrops. They come back from year to year, so do the bluebells. So we could call those perennial plants. And then there's something in between them. which gets a little bit confusing, and they're called biennials. So that means they take 2 years to complete their life cycle. So in 2024, all around this area of woodland I was in were very tall plants in full flower in June, July and August, and they were foxgloves. When they'd completed their flowering session, all the seeds, 10,000 seeds per plant, they produce masses of tiny seeds, all drop onto the woodland floor. Again, the leaf litter comes down, and some, about half of the seeds, germinate then. Some would germinate in January 2025, a year ago, in other words. And they are stimulated by the frost, the cold weather on the woodland floor, and it kind of breaks the dormancy in the seed. In farming, we call it vernalisation, which I suppose just means spring and starting off, which is what this broadcast is about, really. It's about hope and renewal. And those plants grew all through 2025 from seed, and that's the bit I'm looking at now. And then in 2026, later on this year ahead of us, all those wonderful foxgloves grow up to about 2 metres tall in this woodland. It's sharp, sandy soil. Lots of soil has been dug and moved because I'm sitting right next to a rabbit warren, and the whole top of the warren where the soil's been dug out is absolutely covered with these foxglove plants, Digitalis purpurea. Beautiful, beautiful plants, and they'll be providing a display, not so much for the humans, but for bumblebees to actually come into the woodland. It's quite strange to see it, because by the time these plants, they're shade-tolerant plants, foxgloves, by the time they come into flower, the canopy, and I'm looking up, there's Scots pine right above my head with an old buzzard's nest right in the top of it, and all around me, lots of sort of medium-grown oak trees, all about 100 years old, all about 18-inch diameter. And this area of woodland where I'm sitting in gets plunged almost into darkness at midday. It's quite strange. And the foxgloves love that. They like this sort of semi-dappled light shade mix on the woodland floor. And they then come into flower for bumblebees in particular. Honeybees visit them and go into the... The digitalis part of the name literally means digit. You can put your finger inside the little foxglove flower itself, and really beautiful. Some are lemon yellow, most of them are sort of violet pink or deep purple, so quite a mixture of colours, and they've been here since I was a child. So the foxgloves have been growing in this biennial fashion for well over 60-70 years. And that's Rat. He's sitting by one of the rabbit holes looking down at this time. The hole's a little bit too small, thank goodness, for him to go down. So what he's doing is sitting there trying to bark the rabbit out of the hole, and that's never going to work. So there we are. So a quick visit, sort of showing some of the hope, how the countryside works, and revival, I suppose, where it goes on from year to year to year. And that's the bit that interests me, and that's the bit I've fallen in love with, and I'm really happy and excited to share it with you and this demented terrier that's going from rabbit hole to rabbit hole at the moment. What are you doing? Yeah, you wait. Once this microphone's turned off, he's going to get a stern telling off for misbehaving. Oh, dear. Anyway, hope you can join me again next time we do this. It's always a huge pleasure. Chris Skinner, bye for now.
Thank you, Chris. I know that your excellent contributions to Chatterbox are warmly welcomed by our listeners.